start tonight by turning in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll pray that indeed God will let the storms roll, but the power continue tonight. Sometimes the power likes to flicker out here in the country, but usually for only a moment. It's only been once or twice we've lost power in the last few years. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. See the title of our lesson. Everyone has one. It's going on and on and on. There was I'm not going to read it to you, but there was a poem in the beginning of this chapter from Elizabeth George that a missionary wrote after reading these verses from Philippians. And it says, go on, go on, go on, go on. And about 12 more times it says the same words. Going on and on and on. And that's sort of the point of what we're looking at tonight, to press forward. Carolyn, would you please read Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. As you're turning there, everybody else is getting there, let's get our minds around what we're talking about. See there on the sheet, it says, the Apostle Paul knew the tendency that we all have to rest, to relax, instead of pressing forward, and to remember the past, the good things as well as the bad things. And so according to these verses we're about to read, what was the first step that the Apostle took in his journey towards spiritual maturity and becoming like Christ? Okay, there's a couple of things mentioned, and we'll see if we can identify them, but as you read those verses, let's see if we can see what the first step is. Go ahead, please.
Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. What would you say is the first step, anybody, in his journey? Forget the past. Anybody else? A different answer? Last time that was kind of the main point. We talked about that, and we're kind of picking up with that and then go a little bit different direction tonight, but to reach forward. Okay, very good. We've just answered the second question, which is, what are the second and third steps Paul is taking?
The first thing might be he was thinking, he was reflecting. I don't know how, what apprehended.
We know what apprehended means. We don't use it in a sentence very often in this way, I don't think, and so it throws us off. But that really is the first step here. To apprehend something means, well, to comprehend something, it's a little bit different, but to understand it. But to apprehend means you've got it in your hands, you're holding it. Right? You've reached a goal. You go to the store, you've apprehended that gallon of milk once it's in your grocery cart, okay? You've apprehended it. And here he says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived to that point of maturity that I'm supposed to be at. I'm not there yet. Okay, that's what he's saying. When you read all the verses around it, even more than we just read, I'm not all there where I need to be. I'm not apprehended. I don't have it all yet. But then I'm going to forget those things that are behind and reach forward. That's the second and third steps. But the first thing is to identify. He says, I don't count myself. I don't consider myself to have arrived. To have, put in my time through confirmation class, and now I've graduated from that, and I can coast for the rest of my life. I don't apprehend. I know I haven't arrived yet in my spiritual journey. I need to keep on pressing forward. So there's a real sense in which the person who wants to become more like Christ is going to be someone who is humble. The very first step is somebody who's humble. Humility says, I don't consider myself to have made it yet. To acknowledge that. Remember last time, not only we talk about be sure to forget all the bad things of the past, but we also talked for a few moments about forgetting the good things, your past accomplishments, right? Not completely forgetting them, but when in terms of thinking you've arrived or that you're now mature and you don't have to work so hard next time around, to watch out for that. And he says here, I don't consider myself to have made it yet, but I'm going to forget those things that are behind and press forward. Does that make sense? We understand the flow of the verse then, the different steps he's taking in this process of trying to become like Christ. And of course, this isn't just something that the Apostle Paul had as his goal, but this is indeed presented to us in Scripture as the goal of the Christian. And as Christians, this is then describing our life. Well, the last question on the first half or first section of our study guide then is, can you say that your entire life, all your effort and energy, is focused on this, focused on moving forward towards God? Like the Apostle Paul said, he doesn't consider himself to have made it. He's going to forget those things and press forward, reach forward. Why do you think that might be? You said because we're sinners. Any other reasons, perhaps? We'll come back to this a little bit later. Why our entire life is not focused on God, though this verse, Philippians 3:13, describes it, that that is what we're to be doing. In fact, is there anything in this verse we've already talked about that would actually hint at a something that would keep us back?
We sometimes focus too much on the past.
Okay, focusing on the past. Or the future. Usually the unknowns. Was there another hand or idea? I saw somebody.
I was going to say, we just have too many distractions. We're focused on so many different things that pull us away from studying the Word and being.
Okay. There are distractions. Our world is full of them. Yes.
Thinking a little bit too much of ourselves.
Yeah. Right. Instead of saying, "I don't count myself to have made it," you could count yourself to have arrived at least a little bit. Right. Yeah.
Not in the verse, but along the lines where Peggy said, focus too much on now, so not necessarily looking back, but not looking ahead either.
Okay.
And the nitty gritty of everyday life, instead of looking ahead to the bigger picture, the ultimate goal.
Okay. Yes, focusing on the here and now can be one issue, though if you're not exactly identifying that, that's it's called secularism, that's worldly thought. We'll talk about that in Sunday school in the next couple of weeks, but focusing on the things that you just have to do today to survive without thinking of the big picture is definitely something that can keep us from focusing our effort and energy on God, though in many cases doing what we have to do today to provide for our family or whatever is actually focusing on God. Obviously, we always like to go to extremes one way or the other as humans. Okay, all right, we're getting there. So we understand this fact. We understand that God has called us to be humble, to forget the things of the past, and to press on forward. Well, how do we press on and on and on? This verse forces us, I think, to help, like you say, step back and think of the big picture, and then when we say that, we have to answer the question, what is the big picture? What is the big picture? And so that's what I have here. It says, God's truth what is your grand purpose in life? What is your grand purpose in life? Let's read Philippians 3, verse 12, and remember the idea of apprehending, I don't know if a milk carton is helpful or not, but of grabbing onto something and holding onto it. That idea is an illustration that Paul's using, okay, to talk about spiritual realities in verse 12 here. So, Ellen, can you please read that?
Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold.
Okay, and then I ask the question, what do you think was Christ's purpose and vision for your life when he first laid hold of you? See, it says, I'm pressing on so that I can grab on, lay hold of the thing for which Christ has already laid hold of me. Now, if we read that careful and think about that, the grammar of that, it's saying Christ has already captured me from sin and from hell and brought me into his kingdom. He's laid hold of me. And he's laid hold of me for a purpose. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I want to capture that same purpose that Christ caught me for. I want to lay hold of the same thing, same reason that Christ put me here in the first place into his kingdom. I want to press for that same reason. I want to lay hold on that. Well, what do you think was Christ's purpose for your life when he first laid hold on you?
Glorify God.
What's that?
Glorify God.
To glorify God. Okay. Can't get much bigger picture than that, I think. That obviously has to be the first answer to that.
And our salvation. Don't we have to hope for our salvation?
To hope for our salvation.
I mean, isn't that very important?
So, I don't want to put words in your mouth because my mind is going in a direction. That's a really good comment for many reasons. One of the reasons is because of the thing I'm thinking of, but it might be good if you explain yourself a little more. What do you mean? We're supposed to hope for our salvation?
Well, isn't that our strife in life? To obey God and, you know, do the commandments for our salvation. I don't know how else to explain that.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe that right now you are saved? Right now you are saved. Everybody believes that right now you are saved from your sins. Do you believe you can lose that status of being saved? You might be saved, you might not be saved tomorrow. Somehow you might not be saved tomorrow. Do you believe that? I hope not. I mean, if you do or if you wonder about that, we can talk about that sometime. No, those whom Christ holds in his hand, he's got a strong grip on us and he never lets us go. Right? So we can't be saved today and not quite sure if we're saved tomorrow. We may not feel that we're saved tomorrow, but we're as saved now as we ever shall be saved. Right? But the Bible does say we are to hope for our salvation. Okay, perhaps what you're getting at, or what the phrase you said is so beautiful, but we don't think about it maybe as often as we should, is that we are as saved now as we'll ever be, but we're supposed to hope and wait for that fullness of salvation that we don't see around us yet, because right now we see our sins, we look at the law we're supposed to obey, we know we're supposed to, not because we're going to get to heaven because of that, but we do to give him glory, and we see how keep on falling short of that. But hoping for salvation is a goal, is a purpose, because it shows us, again, where that salvation comes from. That gives glory to God, hoping for salvation. Because it puts all the emphasis and all the honor and all the power to keep me in this life in God's hands. So hoping for salvation is definitely a very good way of putting it, I think. Okay. To help focus our thoughts a little bit more about grand purpose. It's a big question, right? I want to ask you some bigger questions, okay? So it says, take a few moments to answer the following questions. These are big questions, too. Who am I? All right. The next question, where did I come from? Now, these aren't questions that my kids ask me yet, though some perhaps they have, but these are those questions that little kids ask and folks ask on their deathbed, too, because they're just those basic questions of life everybody has. Doesn't matter what the color of your skin or what religion you are. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Right? And if I'm supposed to be going a certain direction, what's holding me back from getting to that place? Anybody want to take a guess? Who am I?
I guess I think of Ephesians 2:10 really kind of would answer the first three of them. So we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, good work, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. So I guess I think of us as being God's workmanship, created us for good work. That's kind of the answer I was thinking of.
Okay. That's an excellent, that is an excellent place to answer that. I have that verse buried in a bunch of other verses down below, actually. It says, what are some scriptures which tell us our purpose in life? Is there more than one answer? And from her reaction, I see that she didn't look or cheat, so that's good. What are some scriptures which tell us our purpose in life? And is there more than one answer? And we'll maybe look at a few of these. These are some that just came off the top of my head, and there's certainly many, many more if you start to think about it. Ephesians 2:10 tells us what we are. We are God's workmanship. We're the result of His hand. It literally says God's poems. We are, and poetry is a beautiful statement of truth. It's a beautiful thing to listen to sing. And we are God's poems. And we came from Him, and we're here so that we can obey Him. He's got good works planned out for us. Let's see, what are the other scriptures that tell us our purpose in life? Deuteronomy 6, why don't we turn there? A lot of those verses are, you may or may not know what those verses are about. You might know them just by reading, looking at that Bible reference, you know exactly what they mean. Otherwise, as soon as you hear them, you're going to say, oh yeah, I know this Bible. I know that one. You don't know. Probably memorized all of these. Deuteronomy 6, 5. Let's see. Fine. Ellie, you got that there? Deuteronomy 6, 5. Give me that for us, please.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength.
Okay. There's another place where the same thing said, but also you add your mind, right? When Jesus quotes that in the New Testament. There's that. Phrase is found in a couple of places in the Old and New Testament. What kind of purpose is stated there? Or is that a purpose? Does that verse fit here in this list? What do you think? Has anybody ever asked or thought of these questions? Who am I? What am I here for? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What's the point of it all? We hear other people asking these questions, looking for answers. Yeah, of course. Young people especially, people want, what am I going to do with my life? Why? Not only just young people, but you know, folks that lose their job, middle age, what am I going to do now? They identified who they were with particular occupation, a particular place written on the top of their paycheck, and now that that's not the place that's going to be paying them, who are they anymore? That was their identity, was wrapped up in that perhaps. Your family is lost, a loved one is gone. Now who am I if my loved one is no longer with me? Who am I anymore? If your personal identity is completely wrapped up in the wrong place, even though these other things around you are good, you'll find yourself coming again and again to these questions, and again, I hope we start to understand Bible has answers in places you wouldn't first think to go. You know, for instance, in the case of a funeral, you maybe wouldn't first think of turning to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God. I mean, you turn to Psalm 23, John 14, and a few other places, but this would also be a place to go. What is your purpose now as you go on and move forward in life? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Your loved one is not here on earth to love anymore. And that causes you pain, that doesn't mean there's nothing for you to love, or nothing that entire part of your life and being, that ability to love is suddenly lost. No, you can continue to pour that out for the Lord, just as you did those many years towards your loved one, towards your spouse, or your child, or whatever the case is, and now in some other way. Any thoughts or reflections on that before we look at a couple of the verses? Okay. Okay. At this time in history, right? This country. Why not here right now, except in a different country? Yeah, those are good questions. I don't know the answer to that. Don't look at me like I got the answer to that one. I don't have the full answer anyway. How about we turn, we've already quoted a couple of these. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right, you guys know that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is for the glory of God, everything. Let's do all to his glory. Let's turn to Romans 12. Sometimes we can, you know, if we read or know about, you know, our ancestors or people in, you know, the days of the lords and the ladies and the knights and the maidens, we might think, oh, it would have been nice to live in those days in some ways. And we start to fantasize about some of those realities, and we start to think, oh, that's why we watch movies and read books, right, to escape our world. It's one of the primary reasons, and to think about another world. And there's some value in that, but ultimately we have to realize, you know, we're here now for a purpose. What is that purpose? Romans 12, I think 1 and 2, should help us a little bit. And Bonnie, why don't you read that for us, please?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable and do not
Thank you. That's a very good verse. I think this verse is at an important point in the whole book of Romans, because after telling us all that God has done for us in how we're saved by faith alone and what Christ alone has done, and Romans 8 tells us, you know, those glorious things, that therefore nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, things present or things to come. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is towards us in Christ. And then we come to Romans 12. Well, the verse right before it, the last verse of Romans 11, says, of God and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, after all this is true, he says, I plead with you, I beseech you, in light of God's mercies that I've just been explaining for 11 chapters, here's your purpose. All right? Present your bodies, yourselves, your life right now, who you are in this world, as a living sacrifice. Okay? You might say, oh, if I were a Christian right now in China or North Korea or the Sudan or in almost any Muslim country or a whole bunch of other places, in South America even, I could give my life for Christ. And I know that it could be my purpose to die for the cause of the gospel. And that's very true, and there are people who have died today. And we don't know their names. They're in heaven right now. They weren't 24 hours ago, but they're in heaven right now because of their faith and their stance for Christ. It is a reality, and we don't think about it a lot, don't want to think about it, but it's true. But God tells us that is not the greatest sacrifice we can make for Christ. That is a sacrifice some people are called to, but He calls us to a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Right? Remember, once you die, then it's over, right? That's why we long for death sometimes, in a Christian sense. So we long for things to be over and to be right. But God calls us to a living sacrifice, to day in, day out, fighting and struggling with sin and the devil in this life, to do that for His glory. Because it says, this is a holy thing, this is what's acceptable to God. Verse 1 says, this is your reasonable, this makes sense, this is what God has called you to do as your service. And it goes on to say, don't be like the world around us. Alright, be different, be transformed by your mind continually being renewed so you can tell others and show the world what's good and acceptable as God's will. Right. I think this verse that we just read here gives us a really good indication of the here and now purpose for our life, our entire life. And the whole rest of the book of Romans, you say, well, what does that look like? Read the rest of that chapter, you see very practical ways. First, verse 3 and following talks about specific gifts. Each of us has special talents that God's given to us. Find out what those are, develop them, and use them. But then it says everybody's got Christian, got to behave like a Christian. Perhaps your Bible has that heading over verse 9. It has love without hypocrisy, be kind, rejoice, be patient, bless those who persecute you, repay no one evil for evil. Verse 13, be hospitable, and so on. All of these things, these are purpose statements. Right? So anytime anybody might, and I remember talking with someone once who was really, really struggling with depression and why am I here? And I said, write a personal purpose statement, why you are here, based upon the scriptures. And this is a great chapter to turn to because God gives us a whole lot to write about and a whole lot to think about. Why am I here? What does God want me to do? There are many, many things, reasons why I'm still alive. And they're covered in this chapter, I would think. Let me ask you the question, a follow-up question at the bottom of our study sheet. It says, how do you feel? I don't normally ever ask the question, how do you feel? Okay, but this is a good one to ask, I think. How do you feel knowing that Christ saved you for a purpose? Paul wants to lay hold on the thing that Christ laid hold on him for. He wants to have that same purpose that Christ had for his life. How do you feel knowing that not only did just Christ save me from my sins, but He saved me for a purpose? What do you think, Judy?
We should feel grateful that He saved us, and we should be trying to serve Him with whatever that purpose may be, whatever talents He gave us. We should try to recognize them and pursue whatever purpose it is that He has in mind for us. Are we supposed to serve Him in a different way? Like I said, the talents that He gave us. So find out what those are and develop them and serve Him. As somebody said, the big picture for His glory. We're here for God's glory. That's why we're supposed to love Him. That's why we're supposed to obey Him. That's why we're supposed to serve Him.
Very good. Any other feelings or thoughts?
I would look at that and say how humble that makes you feel that He did that, that He did save you for a purpose. You feel very humble.
Yeah, you should feel special. I mean, really. we should feel amazingly special in God's eyes in a way that maybe we didn't quite appreciate or understand. Certainly we don't appreciate to the depth that he has. He has loved us from eternity for a purpose. Doesn't just love just because. He loves for a purpose as well. Maybe not even just one purpose, of many purposes. Well, we really need to wrap up, but I just want to read through a few things here on the bottom in terms of response. This is the purpose, or a number of purposes we've identified or thought about for our life. I want you to just reflect and go home and think about a typical day or a typical week in your life. What are the activities that consume your time? What is it that takes up your money and your thoughts, even your worries? Think about that. Go home, think about that. Talk with your spouse or talk with one another. Write down a few answers to that. And then, after doing that, ask yourself, what purpose am I fulfilling? What goal am I striving toward when I'm worrying about this particular thing? Or spending time watching this particular program or reading this particular book? What purpose am I fulfilling? It might be a good purpose. It might be a bad purpose. It might be, I don't know what my purpose is. Okay? Because we have to prioritize in life, don't we? And when we get these answers down for the big picture, the grand purpose, and we see these wonderful things, and we see that most or many of the things we're doing don't fit those purposes very well at all, then we have to make a choice, don't we? And God has told us what His purpose is for our life. And the Apostle Paul says, if I want to be like Christ, and I want to have peace and fulfillment in this life, I've got to grab on to the things that Christ grabbed onto me for, onto these purposes, to lay hold onto the thing which Christ laid hold onto me. Forget the things that are past. Don't think that I've already made it, nor think it doesn't matter, I don't care. But instead, press forward towards that goal, now that I've been made aware of those purposes. All right? I think that'd be a good exercise to do. And it's a particular, you know, it's a personalized exercise, so I don't want to go into it too much here, but if it were, you know, watching a particular program at your favorite program every evening on the television, whatever that is, maybe that's okay. I'm not saying it's bad, but evaluate that and do it for a reason. All right? And then you know why, and then you can do it with a clear conscience. Or maybe not, and then we have to make a change. And this isn't just something for ourselves. You share this with those around you in your life. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect upon our life a bit more and to reflect mostly upon you and your purpose for our life. Help us to, again, realize how special we are, not because of anything in us, but because of your love and because of your purpose and what you will make out of us. What an amazing thing it is to be like clay and Play-Doh in your hands that you are fashioning and forming into the image of Christ. Make us more and more like Him until that day, indeed, when we shall see Him, even as He is, face to face. In Christ's glory and for His name we pray. Amen.